will find a copy of the authorized version of the Holy Scriptures in front of you in the pew. If you pick up that copy, we're turning for our scriptural lesson tonight to the Old Testament, to the 19th chapter of 2 Kings. That's at page numbered 430 in the Bible that you have found in front of you in the pew. The 19th chapter of the second book of Kings. And we are reading from verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast down their gods into the fire. For they were no gods, but the work of man's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word that the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee, and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice, and lifted up thine eyes on high? Even against the Holy One of Israel. By thy messengers thou hast reproached the Lord, and hast said, With the multitude of my chariots I am come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, and will cut down the tall cedar trees thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof, and I will enter into the lodgings of the borders, and into the forest of Carmel. I have digged and drunk strange waters, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of besieged places. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste fenced cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and as the green herb, as the grass on the mountain tops, and as corn blasteth before it be grown up. And I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. Because thy rage against me, and thy tumult is come up into mine ears. Therefore I will put my hook in thy nose, and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. And this shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves, and in the second year that which springeth of the seed, and in the third year sow ye, and reap, and plant vineyards, and eat the fruits thereof. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward, and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with the shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. But I will defend this city to save it, for my name's sake, and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adram, Melech, and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with a sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. God shall stamp with his own divine seal of approval this reading from his very own infallible book. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. You may be seated. The title of my message this evening is The Proud Boast of the Satanic Bully Boy Shattered. From time to time in the history of the world, there have arisen those who have tried to beset the church with persecution and tried to destroy the morality that is founded on God's word and contained in the ethics of the Ten Commandments. These are violated. These are attacked. Those who adhere to them are treated as the offscouring of all things. In the history of the children of Israel, in the days of Hezekiah, the good king of Judah, there came about a dictator who was the king of Assyria. And he decided to ravage that whole part of the Middle East with war and with his dictatorship. Country after country fell before this leader. And he was a leader that brought fear and sorrow and trouble to the whole area of that district. But Hezekiah, the good king of Judah, had escaped from the worst tyranny of the king of Assyria. But the king of Assyria decided that he would even it up, and so he would come and destroy Hezekiah and his kingdom, as he had destroyed many more. And we have been reading in our scripture lesson the story of this dictator, this satanic bully boy who decided to boast of what he would do with the children of Israel and with the kingdom of Judah. But there are five things I want to specially mention about this contest. First of all, we have the exclusion of a nation in its overwhelming crisis. An overwhelming crisis had overtaken the kingdom of Judah. A great army of 185,000 men, skilled soldiers in war, led by Sennacherib the king, were about to invade the land. Good King Hezekiah was plunged into a serious crisis. There were serious implications to that crisis, a crisis that threatened terror, destruction, the overthrow of the nation, and the destruction of its people, the burning of its cities, and the destruction of its economy. And so we have a nation facing crisis, and they cry out because of the awful pressures put upon them. Our own United Kingdom at this time is facing a crisis. And this province that we love, this province of Ulster, is facing a very serious crisis. The days are dark. The murderers are upon our streets. We have a litany of crime repeated every morning on the radio, which would make you to have cold shivers in your spine. Murders, deaths, arsons, attacks on every hand. And in the midst of that, we have the demoralization of our people. Democracy has fled away. We have terrorists, and those who eulogize the murder of terrorism in the very government at the heart of the whole situation here. We have a large consignment of the most deadly weapons kept by the terrorists and ready to be used when the best possible moment for them to succeed shall come. The police have been demoralized. They have fought the battle and defended both communities with strength during the past years, and now they're left. I was talking to the chief of police in our own town in Ballymena, and he was telling me that he's 40 men under manpower. And he says, they tell me I'll not have them until 6 or 7 months. No wonder Ballymena is the center of drugs. No wonder there's more crime in that town than ever it has been in it. The police are demoralized. And the government has left the very basis of democracy and tries to infer that the only way to peace is to surrender to the terms of the terrorists. So we live in a parallel situation. And no wonder people exclaim when they look at the overwhelming crisis we're in. And as they said in the scripture, who shall do them any good? So here we have, first of all, the exclamation of a nation with an overwhelming crisis. But secondly, we have the exaltation of a nation because it had a praying king. It is a great thing when the leader of a nation is a God-fearing man or woman. It is a great thing when the leader of a nation puts God first. And we find here the king is challenged. He has received a letter from the tyrant. He's been told his city is going to perish. His country is going to perish. And he's given a whole number of names of countries that the dictator has already destroyed. Destroyed their stability, their government, their towns, their cities, and their people. And he said, now Hezekiah, you're next on the murder list. We're going to deal with this kingdom of Judah. What did this man do? Did he say, I'll arm? I'll do my best with my weak forces to face the enemy. There is a time for arming, and there is a time for courage, and there is a time when we must take a stand. But all our standing is bound to feel in the face of the terrible odds that are against us. But this man went first to the house of God. Please notice in verse 13, Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and Hezekiah went to the house of God and spread in the house of God the letter of judgment, the bully boy's threat. He laid it before the Lord. What did he do? He gave honor to the only God in heaven. He gave honor to the one true and the living God. He gave honor to the God who was mighty to deliver and mighty to save his people. And then instead of turning away from worshiping God, the God that Sennacherib had blasphemed and reviled, he kneels down and he worships God. And he said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, and thou alone. The only safe place in the day of crisis for any nation is in the hand of God and in the rock of God. That's the only place we can get help and strength. And then he pleads with God. He doesn't sing up the good things of Israel. He doesn't recount their history or their great men that went before him on the throne of the kingdom. He says, O God, for your honor, not for ours, that you may be glorified. He was praying in the same frame of our Lord's Prayer, which commences with the words, Hallowed be thy name, and ends with the word, Thine be the glory. God must be honored. He must be given first place. He must be reverenced above all. For if we have not his help All help is in thee. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man, but blessed is the man whose faith is in the Lord of hosts, the King of glory. And then he rejoiced that God was sovereign, that God had a plan for false religion and for the idolatrous king of Assyria. And he said, although you have permitted this king to work such havoc upon the nation, I call upon you, O God, to deliver us and save us. The nation was exalted because it had a praying monarch, a praying king, a leader dedicated to truth and divine principles. And then look thirdly, and you find the communication to a nation by the voice of God's prophet. The old prophet Isaiah comes into the light again here, the great man of God that he was. And he says to the king, you have sent your messengers. You have made your request. You have told what's in your heart. You have spread the letter from the bully boy before the face of the God of truth. Now I'm going to give you the answer. And the answer starts with the mocking of this bully boy. He is mocked by the prophet. And the prophet says, the virgin daughter of Israel hath despised thee. You think you're a dictator, king of Assyria. But this tiny little kingdom of Judah to the south of Israel, this little kingdom is laughing at you. A little damsel, a little virgin girl, and she's laughing you to scorn. She shakes her head at you. She despises you. The king is told by the prophet that God has heard his prayer, and he puts a spirit of defiance into the youngest person, the youngest citizen of the country. Here is this great warrior, this great dictator, a shadow over all the land, the people terrified, and the little damsel girl of Judah, she says, I have despised you. I have laughed you to scorn. I have shaken my head at thee. Thou hast reproached God, but God will reproach thee. You see here, we have the communication that came to the nation from God's prophet, Isaiah. And he said, you are no match for the true God of heaven. You may despise and laugh at us, but God will laugh at you. You may shake your head and tell us you're going to commit genocide upon the entire nation, but I'm telling you that God is going to take up our case. And the Lord will fight for us, and we will hold our peace. Like the beast that you are, God is going to put a hook in your jaw. Like the animal you are, God is going to turn you around. You're going to leave the country in ignominy and shame. Not an arrow will be fired. Not a sword will be drawn. Not an instrument of war will be used. But you shall perish. Of course, those that did not believe God, those who had disparaged the God of heaven, those who had brought the God of heaven down to their own level and sought to set their pitiful skills against the only wise God, the omniscient God, the omnipotent God, and the omnipresent God. They laughed. And they said, "What? This tiny little nation, with Hezekiah at its head, is it really going to win this battle?" No, it wasn't. But God was going to win the battle. This is not a fight between these human beings. This is the God of truth warring against the lie of hell and the lies and deceits of the enemies of truth and righteousness. And then you will notice the emancipation of the nation by the might of God. What happens? That night, the prophet spoke in the morning. And that night, the great army of Sennacherib lay down in its tents to rest, to prepare to commence the struggle of wiping out the kingdom of Judah. And what does the Bible say? That the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. The whole army was wiped out. One of the great poets has written about this and said, "Like the leaves of the forest, when summer is green, that host with their banners at sunset were seen. Like the leaves of the forest when autumn hath blown, that host on the morrow lay withered and strown. For the angel of death spread his wings on the blast, and breathed in the face of the foe as he passed. And the eyes of the sleepers waxed deadly and chill, and their hearts but once heed, and forever were still. And the windows of Asher are loud in their wheel, and the idols are broke in the kingdom of Beel, and the might of the Gentile, unsmote by the sword, have melted like snow in the glance of the Lord." Yes, you see the execution of the nation's enemy by the judgment of God. God is a God of judgment. Truth may for a time be kicked in the gutter, but it will rise to take the throne, and the lie will be dethroned. Evil days will come, persecution for God's people and those that believe in Him and Him alone and hold to the old paths and the old ways of truth as revealed in the Holy Scriptures. But the day comes when truth once again will reign in all its glory and will display its majesty across the face of the earth. So the dictator returned to his own home, but God had not finished with him. He returned to his temple of idols to worship Nisroch, his god. And as he stood there at the altar, two of his sons took their swords and slew him. And his blood mixed with the blood of the sacrifice he was making. And the great Sennacherib, the terrorizer, the bully boy of that whole area of Europe and Asia, was suddenly gone. And the children of Israel celebrated a victory in which they had no hand and in which they had no part, for the victory was the victory of God. The spiritual power of God is just the same today. The strength of God to intervene in days of disaster are still the same. But the trouble is that people have lost their faith and have turned aside to false gods and false religions and false teachings and false beliefs. We need to return to the faith of our fathers living still. The faith that speaks of an all-holy God whose desire for mankind is that they might know Him and enjoy Him forever. We need to return to the fact that sin has to be dealt with and God's curse is upon sin, but God laid our sins on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. And on the dark hill crag of Calvary, Jesus Christ shed His blood for our redemption. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid on Him, and by His stripes we are healed. And at the cross, the worst sinner can be saved. The worst sinner can be redeemed. The worst sinner can become a receiver, a recipient of the grace of Almighty God. It is not religion that saves, nor any act of any church on earth that saves. Christ alone is the Savior of men. Neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And if we're going to know God in truth and have His peace and life and pardon in our hearts, we need to come as sinners to Christ. And His invitation is so wonderful. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." And if we come as we are, as the hymn says, "Just as I am and waiting not, to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come." There is 10,000 welcomes in Christ for you. I trust tonight before you leave this house of God, you will have received Him and learned to know Him, whom to know is life everlasting.